come out this evening to support this work, and I hope that we've come out to praise the name of Jesus. That's what it's all about. You know, a lot of my friends are sitting out there, and I can look out, and Brother Jeremy and others that, you know, we've had a lot of fun times in our lives, goofing off and doing this and that together, but the most precious times that I have with them are the times that we were bowed down in each other's house praying or serving God together. I just encourage the youth of this church to cherish these times. Don't take them for granted. Amen. Bond in friendship, godly friendship, and enjoy the time together, but most of all, praise the Lord together. Amen. Those are the times that are going to stand out in your heart. Yes, those are the times that will never leave you. I thank Brother Aaron and Brother Marty for leading the song service tonight. Most of those songs were new to me. I hadn't sung them in church, but I love singing for the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Saying, I give you my heart, and really, it was really just preaching my message tonight for me is what it was doing. That's my desire tonight, that each and every one of us could give Jesus Christ our hearts tonight. And then they sang the one about the Lord's strength, and certainly I've experienced that in my life. I thought about, and I quote this, it seems like everywhere I go, but when Jesus was talking to Paul, he said, my grace is sufficient for thee, therefore my strength is made perfect in weakness. I'm thankful for that the Lord's grace is sufficient for us in all things. And I was telling, actually last weekend I quoted that, and I was just thinking about all the things good that have ever happened in my life happened when I realized that I wasn't able to do them myself. You know, we live in a society today where people want to tell us that there's this greatness within us, that we can do all things, and that we have this great something inside of us, and we can do whatever we want. And I don't think that's the case, and I don't want to tell people that because our strength is through and by Jesus Christ. I was saved by the grace of God when I realized that I couldn't do anything to save myself. The times that I've preached the gospel and I felt the liberty of the Lord like I never have before, it's when I realized that I couldn't do it. And I just pray for those of you tonight that we might just give up and just rest in God's arms tonight, that He would strengthen us. I won't wear your patience tonight. I have a few thoughts in my heart. I'd like to take a scripture reading from the 6th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy, if you'd like to follow along. I'd ask for your attention just for a short while. Ever since Brother Devin called me and told me that I was selected to preach here, God really has just been impressing these thoughts upon my heart in a very strong way. And I'd ask that you'd pray for me that I could just get myself out of the way and that the Lord would speak to you tonight. 6th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy. I'd like to read the entire chapter there, starting in the first verse. Sometimes when I'm studying, you know, and God leads me to some scripture, as I'm reading it, and God's just showing me how awesome this Word of God is. It truly is. And sometimes when I read the Word of God, it's just like sometimes I want to just read it to the congregation because there is so much power in God's Word. Amen. And I pray that it would speak to you tonight the way that it spoke to me. I know most of you probably know the backstory up to this point. I'd like to go over that a little bit before we read there in the 6th chapter, just so we have an understanding of where we're at in history and in where the children of Israel were at this point. Some around 41 years or so before this, Moses went to Egypt to free God's children from Egyptian bondage. And we know that story about the plagues and those things and how God released His children. And they had come and they had left Egypt out of bondage. And they had come to the promised land. Not too long after they had been released, they had come there to the borders of the promised land. And God had Moses sends spies into the country. We know about those stories. The spies and Joshua and Caleb, they went into the promised land. The land that God had promised them. It was their land. All they needed to do was go over and possess it. And they sent spies over into the land. And they came back to give report of the things that they had seen and what had taken place. And Joshua and Caleb, they could only talk about the size of the fruit that was in that land. The grapes and the pomegranates the Bible talks about that were so big, and how the land was just blessed by God. And they were fired up that this was their land, their promise that God had given them, and they wanted to go across and possess it. But the rest of the spies, they saw something very different. They had a lot of unbelief. Their faith wasn't great. They came across and they talked about the great walled cities that they had seen, and the men that were giants of great stature, and the great armies that were over across in that land. All they could see was the negative things. And they just began to weep and cry unto God, asking Him why they had even been taken out of bondage in Egypt. Did He hate them to take them out there to die, they asked. They were a very unfaithful people. And so that had happened. They came and God passed judgment on them that day for those things. He told them that they would wander in the wilderness for 40 years and that that generation of people would never go across into the promised land, but they would die in the wilderness because of their disobedience and because of their unbelief and because of their lack of faith. And God said that only Joshua and Caleb and their children that knew not what was right or wrong, that they would possess it, but none of those that were freed from Egypt would go through. And we read here in the 6th chapter of Deuteronomy, we come to that point. They had wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. They're here east of Jordan, ready to cross over into the promised land and possess that which God had promised them. And Moses here is coming to the end of his life. He's coming to the end of his journey. Moses knew that he wasn't going to be able to cross over into the promised land with them. He knew that he would not go with them. And you know, I think about that sometimes, but when I was reading this and the book of Deuteronomy, how Moses just seems to pour out all the wisdom that he has left that God has given him to this next generation of people. You see, this was the next generation. The generation before them, their fathers and then their mothers and them, they were as a whole, they were unfaithful people. Lack of faith, lack of obedience to God. And this was this new generation, the children of those that had been freed from Egypt's bondage. It was a new generation. A new generation. And Moses, in the book of Deuteronomy, he just gives them everything that he has left. That's what it seems like to me. This man that had lived a really faithful life and was full of godly wisdom. He just wanted this. He knew that he wasn't going. He knew that he was going to die. But he wanted the children of Israel, this new generation, to thrive and to prosper in the promised land. He didn't have any jealous bone in his body, I don't think. I don't think he was jealous one bit. He wanted them to thrive and to be as close to God as they had ever been before. I pray that that's our hearts too. The older generation that is here, maybe your life is coming towards its end. Maybe you fought the fight, and I'm very thankful for those that have fought the fight before me and that have kept these doors open, that I have a place to hear the gospel and a place to worship. I'm thankful for that. But I tell you what, older generation, I just hope that you have the heart that Moses had. That the younger generation below you would be closer to God than ever before. That we would see things in our generation that you never saw in yours. That we would see revival again in this country. I pray that's the desire of your heart. I long for revival. Let's read in the 6th chapter. It says, "Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it. That thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all of His statutes and His commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of your fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thine heart, and with all of thine soul, and with all of thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities, which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things, which thou fillest not, and wells digged, which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees, which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full. Then beware, lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, and serve him, and shalt swear by his name. Ye shall not go after other gods of the gods of the people which are around about you, for the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you. Lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee, and destroy thee from off the face of the earth. Ye shall not tempt the Lord your God, as ye tempted him in Messiah. Ye shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God, and his testimonies, and his statutes, which he hath commanded thee. And thou shalt do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest go in and possess the good land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers. To cast out all thine enemies from before thee, as the Lord hath spoken. And when thy son asketh thee in the time to come, saying, What mean the testimonies, and the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God hath commanded you? Then thou shalt say unto thy son, We were Pharaoh's bondsmen in Egypt. And the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed signs and wonders, great and sore, upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, and upon all his household before our eyes. And he brought us out from thence, that he might bring us in, to give us the land which he sware unto our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is at this day. And it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God, as he hath commanded us. I pray that God would bless the reading of his word this evening. Brother Tim talked about recommitment when he was up here. And he told us that he hoped that we would all recommit ourselves to God. That we would all recommit ourselves to the advancement of God's kingdom. And this new generation here that Moses was talking about, that's what Deuteronomy is about. It was about recommitment. You know, it wasn't about dwelling on the sins of their fathers. It wasn't about dwelling in the past. But he was telling this new generation about now. Amen. What were they going to do now? I think they needed to be aware of where they came from. We need to be sober and understand the things that have gone on. That our country's in bad shape. It is. That many people have turned away from the Lord. That is the case. But we cannot dwell in the past. We have to focus on now. Amen. What are we doing for God now? Moses here. And my heart, if I haven't made it clear enough, is to the younger generation that's here tonight. I pray God would apply it to everyone's heart that's here tonight, but certainly my burden is for the younger generation. Moses had a great desire for these children. You know, I believe that, and Brother Devin talked about this, these children, this generation, I think they had a zeal for God. I think unlike their father's generation, they were ready to go over into Canaan and possess it. I believe that. I believe that they wanted to really bad, and they were overzealous even to a point. And You know, I think we get that way sometimes. I know certainly when I was called to preach, for the first time, I was very overzealous. I got a little bit ahead of myself. God was going to use me to change the world, and I was going to preach from Vatican City, and revival was going to break out in our country and all these things. And God certainly showed me. He said, no, you just do your little part, and if any change is going to happen, it's going to be by me. I believe they were overzealous to get over there. And Moses here in Deuteronomy, you know, before they went over there, he wanted to give them instruction. He wanted to teach them. He wanted to show them, you know. I was reading Charles Spurgeon the other day, and I apologize if I misquote this, but he said, even the most fervent revivalism will go out as a puff of smoke if the fuel of teaching isn't applied. Amen. And he was talking to young ministers when he wrote that. You know, and for a long time, you know, I thought revival was just going to, I was going to wake up one morning and revival was going to be in our country. You know, and I used to think revival meant a protracted meeting where we would meet for several days and that there would be a lot of shouting and crying and outpouring of emotion. But I came to realize that revival is a change in our lives. Amen. It's not simply an outpouring of emotion in our services, and certainly those things would go along with it. And I want to see those things rejoicing in God's house and all of those things. But if there is not learning and teaching amongst God's children, it will just go out as a puff of smoke. Amen. It won't last. Amen. We have to learn what God wants for our lives. Amen. We have to learn how to praise our Lord. Amen. That's what Moses was teaching them before they went in. He wanted good for them. He wanted them to prosper many days. But he had to teach them. The fourth verse, it says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thine soul and with all thy might. Certainly those are familiar words to us, are they not? The scribes and the Pharisees came to Jesus once, did they not? And they asked him, what was the greatest of the commandments? What was the first of the commandments? They asked Jesus Christ, and he quoted these verses, that they would love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thine soul and with all thine might. You see, Moses, throughout Deuteronomy, he restates the law to them. And he's going to tell them the law and how they should obey God and everything that they needed to know to perfectly obey the will of God. But Moses, I believe he knew that those children were never going to be able to fully fulfill the law. They were never going to be able to live moral lives exactly the way that they should. They were never going to be able to be perfectly obedient to the will of God. That's not within us. And I don't believe that anyone here can live a perfectly obedient life to God. But I think what Moses was trying to tell them here and why he said this first was that we must totally surrender our lives and our hearts to God. We must fully and altogether love God. Amen. We have to. You know, the other commandments and the laws, if we truly love God, we'll obey those, will we not? Those things will come easy. We must love the Lord our God. And that's what Moses was telling them, that the desires of their heart had to be all for God. They had to love the Lord with all thine heart and with all thy soul, with all thy might. And he says, in these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. Like I said, you know, I used to think that revival, that if we prayed hard enough, that one day I'd wake up and revival would be in our country. But I don't believe that is the way it works. And truly, I think that the way that Moses presented this here in the order that he presented it to the children of Israel is the same way that if we want to see revival again, it's going to have to come in this order. He said, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. That was first, wasn't it? It was about the individual heart. You know, revival doesn't even start on the church level, I don't think. I don't think it starts on a country level. Revival starts in my heart, on my knees. Revival starts on your knees and in your heart. If we're ever going to see revival in this country, it's going to start with individuals. Individuals recommitting themselves to God. Learning what God wants from their lives and applying it in their lives. There's going to be life changes made. That's revival to me, is when people start changing the way they live their lives. Brothers and sisters, this world has dictated the way that we live our lives, the way that we serve God. This world has dictated the way that we serve God for far too long. The way that we serve God should be dictating the way the world lives. It should be the one making the impact. The world shouldn't change the way that we worship God, but the way that we worship God should change them. It's got to start in our hearts. That's where it starts. And then he talks about diligently teaching thy children. I think once it starts with the individual, then it goes to the family. My heart has been burdened for some time for the Christian family. It's been falling to the wayside for some time. And to this younger generation, those of you that have newly founded families, that have young children, for those of you in college and high school, that before too long you'll be in that same situation with a family and with children. Study God's Word. Amen. Study God's Word on how to be a husband, on how to be a wife, on how to be a father or a mother. Study those things. This world has its idea of what's right for a family, and they've totally messed it up. They've totally screwed up what a family is supposed to be like. And it amazes me sometimes when I hear God's people even buying into the things that the world is teaching about the family. God help us. We talk about homosexuality a lot and how that has infiltrated our country and how it's becoming accepted. Those things are wrong. I think that I would get an amen out of all of you on that, that we agree with those things, and I've heard those things preached about, and I'm thankful for that. But I think also something that we neglect to talk about sometimes because we're afraid to hurt people's feelings or we're afraid to step on people's toes, but is single-handedly destroying families in this country is divorce. God hates divorce. He does. And you know, it's things that we don't talk about that often. We don't, I want to address them, but a young generation today, learn about the institution of marriage and what God has in store for it. It's a very blessed institution created by the hand of God, and we should do our best to fulfill it the way that He would want it. God help us to do those things. I saw the other day on the Today Show, they had a couple come in, and this was the perfect American couple, they said. They did things 50-50. The husband did 50% and the wife did 50%. And you know, those things are, that's what's accepted. That's what the world says is perfect. That's not the case. There are different roles for men and women. There are different roles for men and women. And certainly they're 50-50 in importance. Absolutely. The woman's role is as important as the man's, and the man's as important as the woman. Now, but there are very distinct roles that God has laid out for men and women and husbands and wives, and we should try to fulfill them to the best of our abilities. Lord, help us. Women, submit yourselves unto your husbands. That's what the Bible teaches. That is not a degrading thing like the world wants to say it is. It's not a degrading thing to submit yourself to your husband. It is not a degrading thing to be the keeper of the household. No, the world wants to say that that is degrading to women. Oh, no, it's not. That is the blessed role that God has created for you. And men, it's time that we step up. It's time that we take our role as men. Speak up. Be the head of your household. Be the provider for your household. Be the head. If we want our wives to submit unto us, we need to start being the head that we need to be. Amen. We need to love them as Christ loved the church. God help the Christian family. talked about teaching our children. You know, I'm thankful I had very good parents growing up, and I don't want to praise them too much, but I'm very thankful for the way that I was raised. And I was talking to them the other day, and they told me about biblical stories, and they taught me Bible stuff, and I was blessed to have heard the gospel my whole life, and I was thankful for that. But I told my mom the other day that the biggest thing in my life that they ever taught me, not a word ever came out of their mouths. It was the way in which they live their lives. And I tell you what, young generation, the way that you live your lives in front of your children will say more than your words ever will.
Amen.
Live a life of faith before them. Live a life where God comes first and everything else is thrown in if God allows it. It's become the other way around. You know, our lives have taken precedent and we let God slip in where He can here and there. We got to flip the script on that. God's got to come first. God's got to come first in our lives, brothers and sisters. In the book of Haggai, when the children of Israel had returned into Jerusalem to rebuild the temple, for 14 years they sat and they didn't do construction on the building, and they had begun building their own houses and decorating them and making them nice. And the Lord's house was just laying there, and their only purpose for returning to Jerusalem was to rebuild the temple. And God led the prophet there to say, "O ye that dwell in your sealed houses, why this house lie waste, consider your ways."
Amen.
They had become selfish. They had put their own desires and their own wants and wishes above that which God had called them to do. God, help us to not do that. But God stirred the heart of those people over there, and they began to build. And you know, sometimes the brothers over there, it said that they began to weep because they saw the first temple and the glory of it, and they began to weep and talk about the second temple that couldn't ever be what the past one was. And God told them that the glory of the second temple would be greater than the first. You know, I think sometimes we get stuck caught in the past. I think we do that from time to time when we think about how great the former days were, but it's about now.
Amen.
It's about right now. And I believe that God can bless this country.
Amen.
I believe God can bless this church. God can bless your family and in your life greater than you've ever seen it before. I believe that He can do that. Starts with the individual. Then I believe it goes to the family. And I got this picture when I was reading this. You know, if individuals, revival started in our souls and our families got where they needed to be, and our families got close, and that we got fired up and revival started in the home. Think about how church service would go if all the families came in and they were all where they needed to be with God.
Amen.
Think about that if you went to your home church and that every family in there was where they needed to be with God. How do you think church service would go that morning? I believe the power of Christ would rain down upon it.
Amen.
And when our churches get where they need to be, I believe it starts to touch the community. And the community, the city, and the city, the state, and the state, the country. I once thought that it was the other way around, that I would wake up and that revival would be in our country. But it starts right here. It starts in your heart. God said to him, "And it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, and wells digged which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full." They were going into a land that was full of blessings. I mean, full of everything they could ever need. All of their needs were met and then some. They had everything they could possibly want. And I was reading that and I thought, man, that's me, isn't it? Isn't that us today, brothers and sisters? Don't we have so many blessings in this country that we didn't fight for ourselves? We live in the richest nation that's ever been. We live in a country that has religious freedoms, and I'm thankful for those things and thankful for the ones that have fought for those things. But sometimes, brothers and sisters, we grow fat on our blessings. We grow content in our blessings and all the things that we have in our lives, and we forget about the Lord, which granted them to us. He told them then, "Beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage." That's what it was all about. That's what Moses wanted to drive through to him. Not to forget what the Lord had done for him. To love God with all thine heart. To not forget what the Lord had done for him. And to live for Him. Brothers and sisters, may we never forget what Christ did for us on Calvary. Lord, help us to have that at the forefront of our mind. When we wake up in the morning, when we lay down, when we sit at our dinner tables, as the Scripture was saying, let the Lord Jesus Christ be upon our hearts and upon our minds. Jesus said, in the Corinthians, Paul said that we are bought with a price. You know, I just wish that that was at the forefront of our minds every time we started our day. That our minds and our spirits, they're not ours, but God's. And that we are bought with a price. The precious blood of Jesus Christ. And we need to live our lives, and we need to live a life in front of people that sheds light to them. That we would lift Jesus Christ up to them. That all men would be drawn unto Him. Help us, God, to shed our light. I feel like reading a few more verses of Scripture, and then I'm going to close and turn it back over to Brother Tim. The 30th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy, shortly right before they crossed over the promised land, some of Moses' last advice to them. He had been outpouring His wisdom to them, teaching them what God wanted from them, how to be obedient, how to surrender to Him. He was teaching them, and this is towards the end of the things that He told them. The 30th chapter in the 11th verse, it says, "For this commandment which I command thee this day, it is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven that thou shouldest say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it. Neither is it beyond the sea that thou shouldest say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it. But the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thine heart, that thou mayest do it. See, I have set before thee this day life and good, and death and evil. And that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in His ways, and to keep His commandments, and His statutes, and His judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. But if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shall be drawn away, and worship other gods, and serve them, I denounce unto you this day, that ye shall surely perish, and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land, whether thou passest over Jordan to go to possess it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey His voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto Him, for He is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them." Amen. I believe revival's right around the corner, brothers and sisters. I have great expectations for this next generation of people. I see things that I really... it excites me. I see a zeal in our lives, in your lives, I see a zeal in them. I believe that you want to serve God and that you want to lift Christ up to this community. Let's just learn. Let's learn and live with Christ. That's what it's about. And let's grow with the Lord. Let's find out what He wants from us. Let's bind it to our hearts and then write it on our doorposts. May God bless all of you. Amen.